Hey, good morning. Live from the Ron Scott Communication Center, this is From the Stand. From the Stand, supported by the CAF, the Commemorative Air Force. The CAF's mission is education, such that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. We invite you to stop by and see Hangar 57, the CAF tent, on the southeast corner of Boeing Centennial Plaza, or you can always visit the CAF on the web at commemorativeairforce.org. Welcome to this morning's program. Joining me, David Passahow and David Oliver from the Commemorative Air Force to talk about one of the airplanes that was probably the most discussed last year, one of the most discussed airplanes at AirVenture 2015, and that's the C-47 That's All Brother. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us, for those who may not be up to date on the story, what's the significance of this airplane?
Well, the significance of this airplane, Steve, is the role it played in the D-Day invasion, Normandy, and really the entire World War II effort. The D-Day invasion, most people think of as hundreds of Higgins boats coming across the channel, but in truth, it began with 800 C-47s putting the 82nd and 101st Airborne behind enemy lines very early that morning. Miraculously, the airplane that led those 800 C-47s survived. And by fate, it was discovered in, of all places, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. How appropriate. And through a myriad of conversations, the CAF was able to acquire the airplane. And it's our mission to restore it to flight status and allow it to continue to tell its story and share its place in World War II history with generations to come.
It is amazing how the airplane was literally sitting not more than a mile from where we're standing right now, and it's been there for several years.
It had been like most C-47s after the war, it went through a rather indistinguished history. There's a little chapter where maybe it was doing some things for some government agencies, but then it served the role as a freighter. It was converted into a Snoopy gunship, similar to Vietnam vintage, and then sold to Basler for conversion into a BT-67 freighter, and that was its fate. That's where it was headed, to be stripped and gutted. But a researcher found the airplane, confirmed the serial number and the provenance, and as they say, the rest is and will be even greater history.
And this airplane, when we think of C-47s and when I think of warbirds in general, they have such a long life that actually I didn't realize that That's All Brother basically came off the assembly line, had some modifications done, went overseas, and was pressed into action in D-Day almost immediately. It was just a few months between the construction that rolled off the assembly line and leading the invasion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were just cranking these things out. It's amazing to see the numbers of aircraft that the war effort turned out, and they literally, even the women air service pilots and everything ferrying the aircrafts over quickly as they rolled off the assembly line, and the numbers are just staggering.
Amazing.
From Tulsa, Oklahoma to Love Field in Dallas, and then out to the East Coast. And, you know, I don't think we really know why That's All Brother was selected to be the airplane that led the invasion, but one might assume it was a reasonably low-time airplane, young, and had a high dispatch reliability. But it was selected, and it played that role.
What kind of modifications were done to the airplane to lead the mission?
Yeah, well, you know, the it's great that the airplane had nose art. That's All Brother, of course, kind of an ode to Hitler saying, hey, that's it, you know. And they did a lot of things to the airplane. They knew it was going to lead the D-Day raid. And there were a number of things that they needed to do. The Pathfinder radar and some of that equipment was essential to making sure that it was the lead aircraft, right? Every aircraft in that formation was cued off of That's All Brother.
Exactly.
And, you know, if That's All Brother was just off, you know, 10 degrees here or there, the rest of the formation is, right? Because they're following that. So the equipment on there, the Pathfinder radars, of course, they were queuing off of ground stations and all these things, all had to work together in conjunction. And that's why this airplane was so instrumental in history.
You know, an interesting point in our confirmation that this was the airplane is certainly the serial number matched all the records, but I was up here and crawled under the airplane and found the doubler plates where the radar pod had extended beneath the airplane. And when we saw that positioned exactly where it was supposed to be, we knew we had the right airplane.
What was that like to be under the airplane and suddenly realize what you were looking at?
I had another CAF person on the phone, Adam Smith, and Adam described exactly where it should be and the number of inches, and I had a tape measure of the size of the opening, and I said, well, Adam, give me a minute, and I put the phone down, and I picked it up, and I said, we got it. It's it. And it was wonderful. Now, then we had to negotiate the acquisition of the airplane, and then we had a little bit of a – we have and have had a bit of a restoration in front of us.
Yeah, that segues right into the next question. David Oliver, what has been happening to the airplane since it was on the ramp last year at Oshkosh?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we bought the airplane. That was like
that was cool.
The first thing. We bought the airplane. Great. Well, now what are we going to do with it?
Well, you know? And honestly, we didn't do it in quite the right order. We did the pre-purchase after
That's
we
right.
bought
yeah.
the airplane.
Wouldn't you normally look at the airplane first? But no, we didn't care about that. We were going to buy this thing. We had to have it. And we did. The first step was to get a baseline of where is this thing at? And we found that it was really somewhere between flyable and derelict, okay, somewhere in the middle in between. And we knew it was going to need a lot of work. We had them, you know, do a full inspection on the aircraft. And what better place to have it here at Oshkosh? I mean, in Basler's backyard.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are the gurus. I mean, they just know C-47s, DC-3s.
Intimately.
And we were really happy to partner with them. And go ahead and have them start working on the aircraft as part of the restoration.
Corrosion control has been the main focus, getting the airplane solid, to have a foundation
That's right.
under it. And it has been laborious. It has been 10 months of a very steady work on the airplane, and you can see the results of that on the stand.
You know, we all know that airworthy is sometimes a little bit of a relative term. Mm-hmm. But when you acquire something which is it's a national asset, it's a national treasure.
It is.
We have a national treasure in our hands. We are not just going to, you know, put a new coat of paint on it and put, you know, maybe spruce it up here and there and get it flyable. No. This airplane has got to start from ground zero where it's been flying in some state for 75 years and we wanted to see it go for another 7,500 years. And so we said the best thing we could do right now is to have Basler start, like David said, working the basis, working out every inch of corrosion, putting in new metal in places where it absolutely needed
had to be
you
done.
Know, things. And that's going to be the baseline that's going to carry it for many years to come.
Exactly.
Was there more corrosion in it than you anticipated?
Well,
like,
you know,
like any old airplane, once you open it up.
We all know that old airplanes, right? They have that, and sometimes corrosion's a problem. The airplane did have some corrosion in it, and corrosion's almost like saying cancer. You know, everybody freaks out, but the truth is, again, it's at the right place. Basler went in there, and they have PMAs, and they manufacture and extrude all these parts. So again, it was the right place to do it because they had all the parts and pieces to do it.
The key parts of the airplane were really pretty sound. The center section was good. The wings were good, where you would expect an old airplane to need some attention. The big challenge now is pointing forward and the next steps in the airplane and the further building upon what's been done. As you can imagine, Steve, the wiring system is absolutely state-of-the-art mid-1940s.
Right.
And that's not what we want to have going forward. So wiring will be another part of the aircraft attention, and then the rest of the systems that make it up. And we're in the process of raising the funds to allow us to continue to drive That's All Brother forward.
Right. Good. And what's the timeline moving forward? I mean, how long will it be, do you think, for the restoration, just ballpark?
Well, we need everybody's help, right?
Absolutely.
We need everybody's help in this project to continue to fundraise and support the effort. Really, we're going as fast as we possibly can. The great thing is Basler can work fast or slow, and we're continuing to raise the funds so we make sure we support it. We're really hoping that next year, right? Next year, we really want to see this airplane back at AirVenture and actually fly and demonstrate. And remember, the goal here, the ultimate goal, it's not just to support history, but to be able to bring an airplane to AirVenture here that you can tour and go through, and literally the smell, the feel, all of the aura of the 1940s is there. It's got all the bulkheads and the radio stations. It is an authentic aircraft as it flew in the D-Day configuration.
And the capstone will be in 2019. This airplane will go to Europe. It will fly the beaches of Normandy on D-Day, and it will bring to the European aviation and history fans a living, breathing example of the airplane that led the D-Day invasion. And we're just so pleased to have an opportunity to assume that responsibility for what you said, David, a national treasure. This is something that a responsibility we don't take lightly.
Good. And Pee-wee Martin, who was one of the original paratroopers who jumped on D-Day.
Yes.
He was here last year,
yes.
Inspected the airplane, and he's still ready to go in 2019 as well.
He has promised to be a tandem jumper out of that airplane, and we're going to deliver him an airplane that he can jump out of.
Excellent, excellent. If folks want to get involved supporting the airplane, what do they need to do?
Yeah, that's allbrother.org is the website. Of course, the Commemorative Air Force website as well. And they can go on and see updates and support the project and be a part of the restoration. Right. Because
And come see the airplane. It's on the Boeing ramp. It's pretty obvious. It's a pretty big airplane. And we'd love to give you a tour and have an opportunity to see it up close.
Excellent, excellent. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us this morning. David Oliver and David Passahoff from the Commemorative Air Force talking about the C-47. That's all, brother. When we come back, we'll talk with Congressman Sam Graves here on EIA Radio.